Well, we thank the Lord for this good day we've had.
Yes.
Time just slips on by. We all know that. Just thinking the meeting, 3 days of it's already be gone here, and that service is over. And it don't take very long to put in a week's meeting.
That's so.
So it's already been mentioned that we need to redeem the time, take advantage of these opportunities that we have to be in, get help we need in our soul and get some encouragement.
Amen.
And some challenges. I know that I remember one time years ago, and we were in Dayton, Ohio at that time, after we were saved a while, and Brother Austin used to come by and hold meetings pretty regular there, and remember one night there was a sister talking to him there after the meeting, and this sister told Brother Austin, she said, I wish you was our pastor. And of course, Brother Austin, he always had an answer, and he said, well, sister, he says, I know what kind of preaching you folks are getting around here. I know what kind of preaching you're getting around here. So I say that to say this, but I know what kind of preaching you folks are getting around here. So we don't have to come here and try to be a pastor to you. You already got a pastor. We have confidence in him and appreciate him. And so we're just here to endeavor to try to stir up our pure minds and challenge us to a closer walk with God, edify the saints, hope we can glean out a soul or two. That's the time we're living in this day. It's a gleaning time we're living in. And already been gleaned over. Even past the gleaning time now.
Yes.
We had a harvest time. And then we had a gleaning time. And now we're having the Bible says that Israel would truly glean. He would truly glean out Israel. So my way of thinking is that about all much the Lord has to work with mostly is, especially in our country here, those that are around and knows the saints, saints' children, saints' relatives, and people who have known the Lord around about. Seem like he's gleaning those out. But I'm still convinced that there's some souls yet to be gleaned out. And I remember Brother Carver years ago in Shreveport, we were down there, and wasn't in the meeting, wasn't very many folks came out, or out visitors, or that's what we call outside folks, and the saints weren't too diligent to attend the meeting. So he asked me after it was over, he said, do you think we ought to ever have another revival meeting here? And I said, yes, I think so. We'll just keep on having until the Lord comes. So that's the time that we're living in. And so we need to work while it's day. Because the night comes when no man can work. In order to be able to work for the Lord in these days we're living in now, keep encouraged. You heard this afternoon. Keep a burden. And to be able to put forth make the sacrifice and to carry the burden, we have to be able to recognize the value of one soul. We have to recognize the value of one soul. If we can recognize how valuable one soul is, well, that'll inspire us to keep pressing on.
Yes.
Keep traveling, keep preaching, keep working. We keep looking to God that we might glean out a few more souls.
Yeah.
The Lord said if we be, comparatively speaking, to one soul being worth the value of the whole world. So we don't want to be discouraged because we don't see a lot of people coming out.
Yes, sir.
We know the Bible said one place to look not to the altars, and to, but he said to look up.
Yes.
Because our redemption draweth nigh. Thinking tonight about knowing Jesus. I don't know, it seems like since I've been here, I've just been preaching the same message. Maybe it'll be like the fellow said, when we major up to that, maybe the Lord will give us something else.
Yes.
But knowing Jesus, knowing Jesus. I was thinking how that sometimes people are look at things a different way.
Yes.
We testify how the Lord delivered us from smoking. The Lord delivered me from smoking. I can testify strongly to that. But you know, there's a lot of people last few years especially have quit smoking on their own. So you can quit smoking without being saved. Without being saved, you can quit smoking. Lots of people have, hundreds, thousands of people have quit smoking. I testify strongly how the Lord delivered me from drinking. And He did. The Lord delivered me from drinking. But a lot, you can quit drinking without being saved. Without being saved. A lot of people give it up. A lot of people just decide they don't want to drink anymore. And they just quit. Give it up. And a lot of people have been delivered from the dope habit.
Yes.
The Lord has delivered a lot of people from the dope habit. Well, there have been a lot of people that got off on dope on their own. They just cold turkey, they call it, and quit. And didn't do it anymore. What I'm trying to say is that there's a lot of things that man can do in himself. Man can do in himself. Man can have the power in himself to do a lot of things. A lot of people live good moral lives. I know people that just fine neighbors, just honest people. You wouldn't want to live closer to any better people than that. And just so hospitable and so friendly and so helpful and just a lot of people like that in the world today. And therefore, you could be like that. You could be a good neighbor and a good moral person. And you could give up the habits and all those things and still not know Christ. And still not know Christ. A lot of people can do a lot of things. Some things I had kind of jotted down here. We can have a great knowledge. We can read it. Read all the books. We can read all of Warner's books and all the old Gospel Trumpet books, and we can read the Faith and Victory paper, and we can study the Concordance, and we can Smith's Dictionary, and we can just get all these books and get them all together and get a great lot of head knowledge.
Yes.
And still not know Christ. And still not know Christ.
Yes.
We can have the answers, and we can have a great intellect and be educated, and we can give a good speech or concourse, and we can give you the history of the church and where it started and all about it. We can have a great understanding of those things and still not know Christ. And still not know Christ. We can know the Bible. I heard about a Filipino man that memorized the whole New Testament. He could just say it word for word. Well, I couldn't quite memorize a couple of verses, but anyway, you could do that. Some people could anyway. They could memorize the whole New Testament, be able to quote it word for word, and still not know Christ.
That's right.
And still not know Christ. To know Christ. We can have a standard. We can measure up. We can be dressed just right.
Yes.
We can wear our modest clothes. We can wear our modest hair. We can take off our jewelry. We can all these kind of things and dress up just right and still not know Christ. Still not know Christ. To know Christ. Oh, may the Lord help us. We can know the doctrines, the general teachings. We've been raised up around the saints. We can know that we can just boldly say there's only one church. We can believe that.
Yes.
We can say that we can believe, or we can know about the divine healing, and we can know about the teachings of the sanctification, and a lot of preachers today preaching sanctification.
Yes.
A lot of preachers in the world today that can get up and preach a general along the general line of the church, just as good and clearer as it could be, and maybe still living in adultery.
That's true. Yes.
They can do it.
Yes.
And still not know Christ. Still not know Him for what He really is. May the Lord help us today.
Yes, Lord.
We can do a lot of good works.
Yes.
A lot of good works. Oh, a lot of... we can just... People go to foreign lands, and they'll go to the jungles of Africa, and they'll sacrifice their lives and trying to help people, and those things are all right in their place and all those things, but they can go to the jungles and live out in there and try to help those people in a material way and all those kind of things, and still not have a knowledge of Christ.
Yes.
Still not know Christ. So may the Lord help us tonight. Sacrifice. We can make great sacrifices. Sacrifices. Some people have offer their own children in the name of religion. Some people will go to all extremes in the name of religion and make great sacrifices. Some people will give up the last dollar they have to toward some kind of religion or something other like that. And go to great extremes, suffering about. Some people will suffer in their bodies, or suffer in many ways, and still not know Christ. Still not know Christ. May the Lord help us tonight. Make great sacrifices. We can go to church. We can go to church, and we can just can regularly. And if somebody come along and just look at it just from an outward appearance and outward observation, they might consider that person one of the main one, or one of the congregation. They dress just right. They conduct themselves right, and you would just think they've one of them. Maybe that person don't know Christ at all for himself.
Amen.
Don't really know what Christ is. And go to church, pray. I got here singing.
Yes.
You can sing, you can pray, and you can even preach.
Yes.
There's great educated men that have eloquent speeches. They can sway the crowds.
Yes.
I've been amazed. I've been in some of these places where the speaker would get up and speak and just move the people. Just move the people.
Yes.
And they had such a way of delivering themselves, and such a eloquent words and such a illustrations, and that would touch the emotions of the people. And I see them just, after they would get through speaking, they would just, the people would just flock to the front. They just flock to the front. Maybe the man didn't even know
Christ. Just educated. Head knowledge of something or another. Personality. Some people have such personality.
That's true.
They can just have a way. I've often said that a false prophet, he has to have something special to be successful. Because he don't really have the Lord and don't have the Holy Spirit to help him out. So he's got to have some kind of a special personality or something or another.
Yes.
He's got to have a special knowledge and a way of dealing with people.
Yes.
In order to be popular or be successful in winning a following or a crowd.
That's true.
So all these things and many others can happen, and we can still not know Christ. Not know Him. Oh, to know Him. To know Christ. John said here in the 17th chapter of John, 3rd verse, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. That we might know Him.
Yes.
Know Him for a very personal self. Over in Colossians 1 and about 26, it said, even the mysteries which had been hid from the ages, from generation, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. That's the mystery that's been hidden from the generations of the earth. That man can have nowadays all kinds, would build it all up down through the history of time. That God would come and dwell among His people. That God would send prophets and He'd send teachers and all those kind of things. But now, talking to the brother at the dinner table, back under the old priesthood and under the old Mosaic law, The priest back there was to, his job was to bring God to the people.
Yeah.
Bring God to the people. Recommend God to the people. Or bring God down and get Him in contact with the people.
Yeah.
But now in this day and time, is our message today and our ministry today is just the reverse. We bring the people to God. We bring them to God. We introduce them to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, for everyone to have that knowledge. It says here that Him which is Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. It's that personal Christ in you. To know Him for your own personal self.
Yes.
Back there in the Bible, in Exodus someplace or another, it talks about that that Abraham knew God. As a mighty God.
Yes.
As a creator.
Yes.
Many people today, that's all they know about Jesus, about God, that He created. You say, well, some of them refer to Him as a higher power.
Yes.
They refer to, do you know, oh, I believe there's some kind of a higher power.
Yes.
Well, it said Abraham knew Him as a mighty God, as a mighty God. A creator. Some people will even acknowledge today, yeah, I know He created the world. I know He has all power. I know that He is a mighty God. He is a creator and all those things. But it said they did not know Him as Jehovah. They didn't know Him as Jehovah. Which means Christ in you and I. Which means God with us. God with. It means one who is a provider. Jehovah means a provider.
Yes.
Of all things. So many people today, they know about God. They've heard of Him and they will even acknowledge that He made the world and all the things that are in. He was a mighty God. He was a creator. But they don't know Him.
Yes.
As Jehovah. They don't know Him as that one that lives in our heart.
Yes.
They don't know Him as that one that answers our prayers.
Yes.
They don't know Him as that one that helps us to find something when we lose it. They don't know Him as one who can put a few more drops of gas in that tank and get you a little farther. They don't know Him like that. They know Him as some kind of connected up with some kind of religion somewhere or another. Great God, they call Jehovah Witness and all these things. People going to and fro, recommending Him and all these things, but don't even know Him for their own selves. As Christ in us, which is the hope of glory. A personal, living Savior. Living in our hearts. Goes to bed with us. Rides down the road with us. Talks to us. Reveals Himself. Manifests His head. What did He say some here? To whom God would make known what is the riches of His. No. It said, and from the generation, but now is made manifest to the saints. Made manifest. Or put on exhibition. Or shown. Or revealed to the saints. That's what you and I have tonight. That's what God, that's a great mystery it was to the Gentiles. A great mystery. And I believe I could say tonight, after all the education and all the Bibles in the world and all the preaching going forth and all the different churches and all the things that's going on in the name of the Lord and name of religion, I'd say still, comparatively speaking, there are very few people that actually knows Jesus as a personal inward dwelling Savior. Someone who is real, not a myth, not a spirit floating around in the air somewhere or another, not somebody that's way off up yonder on a throne somewhere or another, but it's Jesus Christ in you, personally, communing with you, reality. He said, Christ in you. Jesus prayed over there that we, as He was in the Father, Father was in Him, that they might be in us.
Yes.
That's revealed to the saint. A personal friend.
Yes.
One that walks with me. One that talks with me.
Yes.
One that teaches me. One that revealed Himself to me. One that I can rely upon. One that I can communicate with. One that solved my problem for me. One that I can take my burdens to. One that comforts me when I'm in trouble. That's the kind of a knowledge that we want to have. To know Him. To know Christ. Christ within you. In you. This thing comes right down to you and I, just me and Him. Comes right down to me and Him. And that's what made you say, well, what about all this unity? And what about the church? And what about all these things? Well, that's what makes the Church of God distinct from all other denominations and movements and groups and peoples. Because it's made up of people that Christ dwells in their hearts. It's made up of people who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's made up of people who have yielded themselves wholly into the hands of God. It's people who have surrendered their life and died out to themselves and opened up their heart and allowed Jesus to come into their life, and they have surrendered to that, and He lives and dwells in their hearts. And as they have that personal relationship with Him, and as they walk with Him daily, and as He becomes their personal friend, and as He becomes their personal Savior, as He becomes their personal walk with Him daily, nightly, weekly, every day, then that puts me in a frame of mind. And then the Lord, Bible said, Paul said one place, if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we're none of His. And then we take on as He comes in and dwells in our heart, and we yield ourselves wholly to Him, and He walks with us, and He becomes that indwelling Christ in our life, and we know Him for what He really is, and then as He becomes to dominate our life, then we become Christ-like, and we become to acting like Christ, and we become to looking like Christ, and we speak like Christ, and we treat our neighbors like Christ would. We treat each other how Christ would, and that's what blends and makes a beautiful church of God. Made up of those members who are walking with Him personally. You personally, and I personally, walking with Jesus, yielding to Him, is striving every day to be more like Him, yielding ourselves more fully every day, spending time alone with Him, communing with Him, and searching Him, and studying about Him. Then I become more like Him, and you become more like Him, and first thing you know, we're all going to be one in Christ. I believe it said something like that somewhere. One in Christ. Don't that sound wonderful tonight? One in Christ. Oh, you show me a congregation where everybody knows Jesus personally. I'll show you a congregation where there's unity. I'll show you a congregation where there's harmony. I'll show you a congregation where there's love. I'll show you a congregation where they're bearing with one another and supporting one another and holding one another up and bearing with one another and helping one another out. I'll show you a working congregation. I'll show you a place where the power of God is manifested. I'll show you a place where you can come and be prayed for and be healed. I'll show you a place where sinners can come in and bow at an altar and be saved. I can show you a place where God will honor that place and God's power will be there to heal. His power will be there to save. His power will be there to rebuke the devil when he comes around.
Yes, that's right.
But it's all based on me personally.
Yes.
Me personally.
Yes.
Being. Brother used to say, if you want more power in the congregation, get more power yourself.
Yes.
More power yourself. Yes. If you want the congregation to be more spiritual, you get more spiritual yourself. That'll help. That'll help. If you want to see a greater outpouring of God's Spirit, then let's you and I get under the burden ourselves for it.
Yes.
And oh, as we begin to know Him, Christ in you. Christ in you. That word, that thought even just thrills our very soul. And He said He would make that manifest to the saints, that mystery that the world don't know anything about. Man, he can have all these other things. He can have all of God. Paul said, I give my body to be burned. And all these other things, if I have not love or charity, it profit me nothing. I can have a knowledge of the church. I can be raised around the saints. I can know what Brother Warner taught. I can know the teaching. I can read the books. I can make the sacrifice. I can quit the smoking. I can do a lot of things and still not know Christ for Him living in my heart. That personal, intimate relationship with Him. Oh, that is the most satisfying thing that I can think of. That's a fulfilling. It's a fulfilling. Oh, it's something. We sang the song, my soul is satisfied. You know, there's only one thing can satisfy your soul, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's Him living in you. And you surrendering and walking daily with Him. Communing and conversing and yielding and learning and better acquainted and all those things. And as you walk that way, oh, then you're going to be like Christ. Don't we sing the song, more like Christ. More like Christ. Well, it said it's Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. The Bible said we're His workmanship, created by Christ. And as we walk personally with Him, and as we surrender wholly unto Him, and as we lay ourselves on the altar and allow Him to have His way in our life, then we become more like Christ. That's what that scripture means, if we have not the Spirit of Christ. What He's really saying is, if we have not the life of Christ. If we don't have the life of Christ,
then we don't have him. It's the life that he lived. He said he would be in you. He'd be with you, but then he would be in you. He wants to get inside of us, folks. He's not concerned about a form religion. He's not concerned about us just going through the motions of going to church and singing a few songs and just going on our way. He's not interested in that kind of thing. But, oh, it's him in us, walking with us. And then when you come to church like that, and I come to church like that, that's going to be a heavenly place, isn't it? That's going to be a place where God is, where God blesses. Oh, Paul, he got a hold of this there in Ephesians somewhere or another. I seen here on the side of this Bible, Philippians 3. Paul, on the side of the Bible here, it says Paul's holy ambition. Holy ambition. This ought to be every one of our ambition tonight, is to know Christ for our own personal self.
Yes.
To have Christ dwelling in us. In us. I want us to keep that thought in mind. To have Christ dwelling in us. A personal communication with Him. Walking with Him. It's between me and Him. Between me and Him. The Bible said somebody that they that measure themselves by themselves and among themselves are not wise. But as I'm continually measuring my life to Christ, as I still stir it, and it says here on the side of this Thompson Bible, Paul's holy ambition. But he said here, those things, seventh verse, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. All his holy ambition. He could have had a lot of ambition. Paul, I understand, as being a great educated man, and he could speak so many different languages, and he'd been taught by the smartest men of the times, and he was a chosen vessel, and he could have had all, he set up above there. If anybody had something to boast about of him, he could boast about it if he wanted to. But all he said, just to know him, to know him. His ambition, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord. I'm willing to count all that loss. No, David said, must have got a hold of thought like that. But one time he said, one thing have I desired. One thing have I desired. Oh, when we can get all this confusion and all these desires and all of our ambitions and all of our reaching out and all of our confusion, and we can get it all boiled down to one thing. David said, just one thing about his heart. And that is that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Well, I find Paul here saying, just one thing if I'm desiring. And I'm willing to count everything else lost. I'm willing to sell out all my religion, give up all my profession, give up all my education, give up all my family, give up everything I have just to know Him. Just to know Him. I believe Paul got a hold of the thought, if he could only know Him, that would take care of everything else. And I'm convinced, friends, tonight, that if you and I can have that personal, inward relationship, that'll take care of all of our needs. That'll take care of all of our wants. That'll satisfy our ever-loaning. I believe that. Bible said He satisfied the loaning soul. My soul is satisfied. When we can get it down to this place where just one thing, my holy ambition, my everything I want, no matter what the cost, no matter what I got to give up, no matter what I got to turn away from, no matter what I have to forsake, I've got it all now, got it all bought now, I've got it all brought into perspective, I've got it all in control, all I want now is Jesus Christ in me. That's all I want. And that's my holy ambition. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, that I might know Him, that I might win Him, that I might have Him to live and dwell in my heart, that I might be able to know of Him, have a know-so knowledge that Christ is living in me. And the life, Paul said one time later, he said, I live. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ liveth in me.
And what a testimony.
I ain't living no more. Goodbye, old world untrue. Old man has died, been buried, crucified, and put away. I live. Yeah, I'm still in the world. I'm still a human being. I've still got things to face. But oh, now he said, I live. Nevertheless, not me. It ain't I no more. But it's Christ in me. It's Christ in me. And the life I now live, I live to the glory of God. No more of my own. I've been bought with a price. No more do what I want to do. But He does what He wants to do with me. He just does what He wants to do with me. I'm not my own. Oh, said, don't you know? He said over there somewhere about, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have in you, or something like that. And He said, you've been bought with a price. And you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which is God's. Oh, I've got it all now. Goodbye, or I can truthfully say, you get to sing them songs about heaven, I tell you, I get homesick. I get homesick. I can truthfully tell you tonight, as best I can understand, it don't make a bit of difference to me whether I stay here or whether I go over there. It don't make a bit of difference. I've got to that place now. I am not struggling to stay here in this world. I am not struggling to stay here. Because the only thing I'm living for is to please my Lord. That's all I'm living for. That's all my ambition is built right around Him living in me. And therefore, why should I long then to stay here? If everything, the only purpose of me is maybe I could help somebody else. I'm here. Because my whole life is not built around material things. I've lost my ambition for those kind of things.
Yes.
I know we have to have things to eat, things to wear, houses to live, but He promised to supply that for us if we live for Him.
Yes.
But then Paul's ambition was, his holy ambition, no matter what the cost would be, no matter what he had to sacrifice, no matter what he had to give up, he just counted all his waste that he might know Christ, that he might know Him and have Him living. And I tell you, when you and I can get completely sold out to Christ, I'm going to tell you, earthly treasures begin fading away. They begin losing their value. Oh, the peace of God that passes understanding. To have Christ, the rest giver, the peace giver, the comforter, to have Him dwelling in your heart. Oh, it just causes, as what's that a song we sang, as a morning light begins to, the stars are concealed, so forth, something like that. So earthly treasures fade away when Jesus is revealed. When I can have that personal, all relationship with Him. When I can have, know Him personally, individually, and be in communing personally with Him. Him living and dwelling. This is what this is all about. This one. We've come down to this time now. They went through the law. They went through the prophet. They went through Jesus walking here on earth. But now it's come down to where He lives and dwells in our lives. No more among us, but in us.
I said, he would dwell with them, and he shall be in them. In us. No more just a form of going through a religious form of some kind. No more just some kind of an outward performance of some kind or another. But it's a personal Jesus in through his Spirit living and dwelling in our hearts. And all earthly treasures begin to fade away. And all then you get to that place to where that you are very cautious, very, very careful. Be very careful.
Yes.
Why are you so careful? Why? I used to think about the old saints we hear talked about, some of them being real strict and maybe some things, and no curtains on the windows and no scarves on the tables and no white wall tires and things like that. We kind of think that was a little overboard. Maybe it was. Maybe some of those things were a little overstrained, not really not necessary. But I got to think, well, them fellows were just fanatic, maybe. And then I got a better thought. No, I believe some of those, maybe those things weren't really necessary, and we could maybe have got a better understanding.
Yes.
But still, I'm sure a lot of those folks, they wanted to do nothing that would grieve the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes.
And therefore, when something would come along that they thought maybe might distract them or come between them and that personal walk with God, they just lay it aside.
Yes.
Rather than just try to figure it out and all, they just quit. Give it up. So I thought, well, it wasn't because maybe some of them was. I'm sure probably some of them was overboard on it. But some of them, I'm sure, were simply walking real careful before God. And if they thought something was a little of the world or a little worldliness or a little something or another, they would just lay the thing down. They would lay it down. Oh, being very, using this word again, very sensitive about the things of God. You know why people do that? Because they've got this. I remember well when he came into my heart. I remember when he saved me. And I remember when he came in through the Holy Spirit to live and dwell in my heart. With his Holy Spirit. He said, if needed, I go away, I'll come again. He did come back. Through the Holy Spirit, he came back. Through the Holy Spirit. And I remember when he came into my heart to live and dwell. I remember when he forgave me of my sins very well. But I remember the day that I consecrated myself to him and he came to live within me. And a heavenly quietness came over me. And it was such a quietness that I got up from the altar. And I just walked out. I didn't want to be around people. Didn't want to be around people. I didn't want anything to break that quietness, that solemnity. I didn't want that to be disturbed. And I walked out of the little chapel there in Myrtle, and we lived staying in a tent at the time. And I just wanted to get down there and be alone with the Lord. Do you know? Somebody asked Brother McCoy one time after his wife has died, said, Brother McCoy, don't you get awful lonely? He said, I'm never lonely anymore since the Comforter's come. We have a song like that, don't we? But I just wanted to be alone. Now maybe it won't work this way for you always. God manifests himself in different ways. But me, it was a heavenly solemnity when he came to live in my heart. And I went down there and I went into the tent. I just wanted to be alone. And my wife was in there. And a young girl was there, Sister Della Goodwine, who is now, she was a teenager back in those days. And they were in the tent there talking. And when I walked in, I don't know what it was. I mean, I know what it was. I know what it was. Yes, I know what it was.
But there was such a solemnity, a heavenly solemnity there, that they felt something. They felt something. And they sat around a little while, and I was just there talking about it. And you know, if I remember right, both of them got down on their knees and said, "Pray for me. Pray for me." I said that to say this. When we really have Christ living in us, and we're yielding to Him, and we're keeping that close relationship together, then we don't want anything to disturb that. And when the world begins to creep in, that's why that I just dread to go visit my relatives anymore. They got the old television on. And those things, they just kind of disturb my peace. And they get in your mind. And those kind of things. But oh, if you and I can have that personal relationship with Him, know Him for what He really is, then we don't want to indulge in things that's going to disturb that. See, to me personally, and I'm sure to you, that to me, His approval and His anointing and His presence, His approval means more to me than anything else in this world. Because when I am fully in tune with Him, I have perfect peace. I have perfect peace. And when there's no interruption, when I have no condemnation, I can just be happy wherever I'm at. I can be contented wherever I'm at. He satisfies the longing soul. Oh, since the Comforter has come, in the problems, I've never been able, this has been a mystery, in a way, how you can have so many troubles. I remember a few years ago, before, when I had the problem, our poor mom, while she was here, and I was having that burning sensation or that breaking out or whatever it was. I don't know what it was. I know one thing, I was burning like fire. Talk about a steak this morning. If you'd have put me in a steak, it wouldn't burn any more than I did. In fact, one night I dreamed that I was laying on the couch trying to get a little rest, and I dreamed that I was on one of these rotisseries, you know, over these big barbecue pits, and they had a big old fire, hot cold there, like they roast them big old pigs or half of beeves or whatever. And they had them steaks stuck in me, and they was rolling me over this fire. I was being rolled over this fire, barbecued. I was being barbecued. And I honestly can tell you, when I woke up, if it would have been real true, I wouldn't have been burning anymore. I wouldn't have been burning anymore if I'd actually been over that fire, I don't believe. But I thought right in some of those times, I would think, my, how could it be? I am just as miserable as a man could be. I am suffering, seemed like as much almost as you could suffer. And I was burning like fire, and I was itching, and I would just take my hand and scrape across my chest, down my neck, and I just, blood would fall from my fingers. I was just tearing the hide off. I couldn't keep from it. And I'd just peel it off. My skin would just peel off. I could just reach up there and pull a big hump of skin off. But right in there, I remember that. How could it be like this and still have such peace in your soul? How could it be? How could it be? That with that kind of suffering and that kind of a distress and still have a peace. Oh, folks, this is what it's all about tonight. This is all it's about. This is what it is. It ain't joining the church. It ain't just being a part of the saints. But it's Christ in us. It's Christ in us. feeling our needs. One time, old brother Matt Buzzard, some of you remember meeting him at a camp meeting maybe or something. A dear old fellow of the church over there at home. Got an old cancer. Well, he had one on this side, one on this side, one on his nose. And oh, it was just eating him up. And he just got in a terrible looking condition. Talking this morning, I never heard him murmur one time. Never heard him complain one time. And his wife wasn't saved, and she was against him, and she wouldn't to help him. She wouldn't even dress his wound for him or anything. And I went over there one day. Brother Mike was sitting out under the pine tree there, chair. And he said, "Brother Simmons," he said, "I've been having pretty rough today." And he said, "Been having quite a bit of pain today. Been pretty bad. But," he said, "I've got a peace of God in my soul." "I've got peace of God in my soul." I thought the scripture came to my mind, "The peace of God which passes understanding." Well, you know what I preached on the next Sunday, probably, that was my message. And I thought there, since a man in that condition, with the old cancer's eating him up and his wife not even cooperating, but still he has a peace of God in his heart. That's Christ in you. That's Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's what Paul was willing to count all things lost. Paul was willing to sell out everything that he might know him. Have a personal knowledge of him tonight. Christ in us. May the Lord help us tonight. That I might win Christ. And then it said, "And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him." That I may know Him. That's all that's interested. I want to tell you tonight, all you and I need to be working at is to know Him.
Amen.
And have Him in our hearts. And be consecrated and committed and dedicated to Him.
Amen.
And allow Him to work in our lives and have His way in our lives.
Yes.
If we'll just work at that, and I'm going to hurry right here and quit. But He said here, and to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I'd already obtained, either were I already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ. Brother, I count not myself to apprehend, but this one thing I do, forgetting those pangs that are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. Do you know what that high calling is? That's that sanctified life. If you'll study the Bible on about the word inheritance, you'll find that it means an inheritance among the saints, a sanctified life. And that's what Paul was willing to surrender all for. And he said, "I haven't maybe just got it all, but I'm pressing towards it to that high calling of Christ Jesus." That high calling, call to be a saint, that high calling is a life surrendered to Christ. That high calling is Christ living in me, which is the hope of glory. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and who gave Himself for me. Praise God tonight. Saints, tonight, let us, maybe we don't have reached, attained that place. Paul said, "I haven't got all I want yet, but I'm striving towards that. Don't understand everything just yet, but this is the whole thing almost wrapped up in it. This will take care
of our needs. This will solve our problem. This will bring unity in our midst. Amen. This will bring forth power from God. And this will bring peace of mind. It'll bring contentment. Yes, it will. I tell the young folks, we had to talk to them up there at Dayton that weekend, some things that were necessary and some things that wasn't necessary. And all those kind of things. But all this, I told some of them that there's nothing wrong with maybe getting out here and having a little softball game or something between yourself. But I said, there's a place in God where you don't have to have that. You don't have to have it. You can do it. There's a place for a little socializing and things like that. And there's nothing wrong with going to fishing once in a while. There's nothing wrong with that, going on a little trip, vacation once in a while. Nothing wrong with that. But there's a place in Christ where you can get by without it. You can be contented. You can be happy without it. He fully satisfies your soul. That personal relationship with Him, it fulfills the desire of a man's life. May the Lord bless us to know Christ, to know Him as our own personal Savior. And if you and I personally will work in that direction, striving daily to be more like Christ. And how do we become more like Christ? Is striving, let me say it this way, dedicating deeper and deeper things of God. And as we surrender everything we surrender to Christ, He'll move in and fill that vacancy. Everything we'll lay aside, He just waits to move in and fill that up. Till you and I can be saturated. And we can answer His prayer in the 17th chapter of John. Him in God, God in Him, and them in us. That's quite a relationship, isn't it? Being in God, in Christ, and them in us. He said, I'll come in, sup with you, you with me. I'll dwell in them. I'll walk in them. May the Lord. He that believeth in Him. Our Bible says he that believeth upon Him. But the original said he that believeth in Him. In Him. Him in you. You in Him. Thus in God. That's quite a relationship, isn't it? And that brings forth peace and victory in our soul. Let us endeavor and strive. Paul said, I'm striving for that. I'm pressing for that. I'm pressing for it. I won't stop till I'm fully sold out to God. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son. I'm no more my own. I'm sold out. Don't own anything anymore. My home, my car, my money, my whatever I have, I don't have anything. Don't own nothing. I'm in for sale. The Lord lets me use a few things, but I don't have anything. But I don't need anything. All I need is Him. May the Lord bless us tonight. I don't believe this is too high to you. I'm not away. I don't believe I'm up too high, too far. I don't believe this ought to be over our heads. But this is what Jesus died for. This was the plan of God from the very beginning. After man and sin, I'm going to make somebody who's going to lose your heel and going to destroy you. And He set out to make a plan right then. To live and dwell in the hearts of men. And He had to go through 4,000 years of laws and prophets and judges and all those kind of things. And I said, Lord, why did You do that? Why didn't You just fix this thing in the beginning? Everything had to be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. When He finally put this plan into operation,
and he hung on the cross and he said, it's finished, he's not going to leave any doubt. It is established upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Yes. This was God's plan from the very time after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, to bring about a plan to where he could live and dwell in the hearts of people. And that's where he wants to be with you tonight. May the Lord bless us tonight.